Former Green Bay Packers quarterback Matt Flynn has reportedly agreed to a deal with the New England Patriots. We'll have some Deflategate discussion coming up, but first we're joined by NFL alumnus Eric Bakhtiari to talk some football. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We are talking about OTAs, minicamp coming up. We're talking about Matt Flynn, but first, we're joined by a guest this morning.
Expert interview.
We're joined by NFL alumnus Eric Bakhtiari. Mr. Bakhtiari, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing early, very early this morning on the West Coast.
Eric joins us all the way from the West Coast. It's 6:30 a.m. out there. We appreciate you getting up early to talk to us. You certainly didn't have to do that. We appreciate that you did. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about a couple events you took part in over the course of the past month or so. The NFL's journalism and broadcast boot camps. Can you tell us a little bit about them and the difference between the two? Because it seems like there could be a little bit of overlap.
Yeah, I think they supplement each other. As you know, being in media, the journalism was more geared toward your writing, how to construct your opinion through words. Written, obviously, the long lost form, and then we had a little bit of media, like training in terms of interviewing a coach at a press conference, video conference. We interviewed an official with a video conference, and then the broadcast one was definitely more toward TV, which I subscribe to because my mother and father blessed me with the genetics, that they didn't give to David, which is I looked really good on TV.
Oh, that's funny. We had a former Packers linebacker, Niall Diggs, on the show a couple weeks ago, who was also in attendance at the journalism boot camp. So does this provide a good opportunity to network among NFL alumni?
Yeah, it was really good to meet Niall, and a lot of the other guys out there, and it's really good to see everyone kind of coming together after their careers and staying with the sport of football, the sport they love, and the things that were provided to us through the boot camps, both the journalism and the broadcast one, with the network executives from like Fox Sports, Westwood One, ESPN. It really is a very, very awesome thing they're doing for former and current NFL players.
So, do you have any irons in the fire? Anything you're working on trying to get a job, or do you? I don't know. So you can clue me in.
So I currently do have a job. I am, given my proximity to Silicon Valley and San Francisco, I am in tech sales right now.
Okay,
it's a wonderful, wonderful company called PagerDuty. It's a lot of fun. I got a great, great team I'm working with. As you know, it's always fun to work with a good team.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit different than the teams I used to work for. I don't get to hit anybody. but what I'm trying to do now is get into what you're doing. I would love to host my own show. Obviously, I want to be on TV because I think that encompasses all my entire skill set. And I'm actually working with Jordan Rogers, trying to get a weekly podcast kind of off the ground where we talk about, sports and pop culture, and we're thinking about calling the other brothers since, you know, David obviously protects Aaron, and they're a lot more successful than our attempted NFL careers.
Well, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear that. And certainly, if you need any assistance, don't hesitate to reach out. So, I do have to ask you, getting on to some football topics here. You yourself being a former San Francisco 49er, what's going on in San Francisco with all these retirements? Because several of these guys used to be your teammates.
I know, it's crazy. I thought, you know, I think they just miss me, to be honest. You know, like I'm not around the locker room anymore, and they all want to retire and, you know, go to Europe for 6 months like I did. Yes. I mean, no, I think with the knowledge that's coming out in terms of, you know, health, and these guys have done very well for themselves, and there's other things I think they want to accomplish. I think that is a factor bigger than it used to be. Mm-hmm. I think they realize that they can do more than just play football. You know, Justin Smith had a Hall of Fame career. He's arguably one of the best players I think I ever played with. And I played with a lot of players, given I played on 7 different teams. And he, you know, so he put in a lot of the time, but to see these young guys, you know, walking away, you know, at 30 or before is, it's honestly quite surprising.
Had you personally ever thought about retiring before you did, kind of due to the concussion issue, or any thoughts of that, you know, detrimental to your health?
Yeah, I did. I did think about it, but I mean, to play the game of football and to be paid to play the game of football, mm-hmm. that part of your life is so small, and so the variable you get to play it for, it's a very tight window. And so I was going to max out whatever, you know, my God-given talent and window was. And I always said, okay, like, if I get another concussion, I'll stop. And then every time I got another concussion, I'd be like, okay, if I get another one. So I'm glad that the game forced me out when it did. Mm-hmm. And I don't have too many lingering effects from concussions, mm-hmm. because I do have this thing where I'll be talking and then my brain will just shut off and I'll be like, wait, what were we talking about? And I could be mid-sentence. Mm-hmm. And that could be just, you know, because I'm not very intelligent to begin with, or it could be because I suffered several concussions to start playing in the NFL.
Yeah, that's the scary part. I think everybody has moments of forgetfulness from time to time, but you wonder, you know, whether it's normal or whether it's due to a concussion or something like that. I can totally understand. We're talking to Eric Bakhtiari, NFL alumnus here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. So, of course, Eric is David Bakhtiari's brother. I want to know whether your brother's head has gotten too big after appearing in a major motion picture this summer.
You know, I think his head's gotten too big because I played in the NFL for 5 years and no one ever got my last name right. And now you guys get it right every time because of him. So I think that's amazing, first of all. So I just want to tip my hat to everyone nationally, but specifically in Green Bay, because they know how to say the name Bakhtiari. That is unbelievable.
What would you used to get?
Oh, we got everything. People would throw L's in there, R's, G's. You know, I think I got Bink Latrini. It was probably the worst one I ever got. The K and the H, the two consonants next to each other, like, people just start freaking out when they see it. It really makes people lose their composure when saying Bakhtiari.
I imagine you, looking for a career in the media, I mean, you have to be very cognizant of that because, I mean, it's, when you're talking about hundreds of thousands of players in the NFL, you know, from time to time, a player's name's going to come up that's a little bit confusing.
Yeah, and you know what's bad? Because my name's been butchered so bad, I think I have, like, an automatic free pass. So I can really just slaughter people's names, and I feel zero remorse.
All right, so David in Pitch Perfect 2, and you actually you talked about Jordan Rogers. He appeared as well. Are these guys riding on top of the world, riding this wave?
It was yes, they are. I was at actually a funny story. I was at a broadcast boot camp in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, at NFL Film, and one of the teachers who they had to teach a class of how to properly do an out on the field interview. She came up to me. She was, "Oh my God! Like, I didn't know your brother was David. My daughter is a huge Pitch Perfect fan. Like, is there any way you can have him like call my daughter?" I think it was one of the first times ever that someone who is 12 years old girl wanted to be called by an offensive lineman. Just because he was in the movie Pitch Perfect too. I mean, first of all, I don't, if you haven't seen the movie, go see it. And second of all, they did a great job. I mean, Clay, TJ, Josh, Donnie, David, and Jordan. It's really funny. And they're going to do a third one, and they better be in it. And I also saw, I don't know if you saw them interviewing LeBron before the NBA Finals, but he went and saw Pitch Perfect too, and he was talking about his love for it now.
Yeah.
So I told Dave, I'm like, look, they better not bump you guys for the third one and put LeBron in. What they got to do is they should have you guys battle in acapella. That would be cool.
Yes, that sounds good to me. Talk a little football here, the stuff on the field. For a guy like David, an offensive lineman in general, how do they set goals heading into a season? Because, you know, other players can set goals in terms of yards or touchdowns, or for defensive players, tackles and interceptions and sacks. But how does David go into a season? What kind of mindset?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So David's mindset is, you know, I definitely think it's changed since he got in the league. So he wanted to contribute. He wanted to win the right tackle spot. And then due to, you know, some unfortunate circumstances that have all obviously played out well for everyone involved, you know, he was shifted over to the left, and he was like, okay, I need to be a speed bump, right? I need to just slow this guy down, so give Aaron enough time so he can get the ball off. And now I think he's more than just a glorified speed bump. And I think he knows that too, because I think he's made some exponential strides in his game. I know that he's a consummate professional, and he wants to master his craft. He's constantly breaking down film, working with the other offensive line, getting their calls down. You know, when Aaron checks at the line, he wants to know exactly, you know, the check that's happened, the protection, where he's going to go and how he's going to do it and how he's going to attack that specific man. Cause each, you know, each rusher from his side, is very, very deadly, and they have a very unique skill set and a very deep skill set. So I think, you know, his mindset now is obviously very team oriented, because he works on a 5-man unit, and it's to do better than they did last year. And that's not just, you know, get to the Super Bowl, it's win it. Yeah. That's his goal. And that's talking to the other guys, like, that's their goal. And it sounds cliche, but it really is. And David's knows that, okay, if I do my job every play, every week, I'm going to give us a chance to do that, because we have arguably the best quarterback on the planet sitting behind me.
Where do you think the Packers' offensive line stacks up to others in the NFL? Because, it, you know, they're obviously near the top, but are they at the top?
I mean, I was at that game in Seattle last year, and to go to Seattle and not be able to hear a thing, and to dominate the way they dominated that defense, I mean – They're one week in and week out, they're one or two, depending on. It'll be interesting to see like how, with the other O-lines, the cohesion right now. But I mean, you have to put them up. I mean, the top three at least in the NFL.
Yeah, they're very, very good. As a former linebacker yourself, I'm curious to get your thoughts on Packers linebacker Clay Matthews and where he lines up on the field at inside or outside linebacker. If you were a member of the Packers coaching staff, where would you utilize him?
Honestly, you could put that kid anywhere. I started training with Clay in the offseason in 2012.
Okay.
And Clay is a good friend of mine. I'm honored to call him that. And he honestly has some of the best, like, quickest, most athletic feet, like, I've ever seen, like, on any athlete. So he literally, we would say he has corner feet, you know. He would run through the ladder and do certain drills and show off certain athleticism that you'd, you know, see reserved for, like, you know, another guy we trained with, Antonio Cromartie. And so he literally is like a Troy Polamalu of linebackers, where he can line up anywhere. And he can essentially do anything you ask him to do. You know, he really stood out at inside linebacker last year when he was moving there. He's been an all-pro defensive player of the year when he's rushing from the outside. So, no, I would do it. I would line off everywhere. I'd line over a corner and have him cover a receiver. I'd have him blitz from that side too. He is a matchup nightmare, because now you have to account for him coming not just from one spot or side. It's now inside, outside, off the ball, and he can handle, you know, playing in space. He can handle covering, you know, tight ends and receivers and things like that. So, you know, he is doing himself and his team an amazing service by being so serviceable in all positions.
And Eric, I could pick your brain all day about these workouts and things like that, but I got to let you go. But before I do, after our interview, we're going to be getting into Matt Flynn signing with the Patriots and the whole Deflategate situation. So before I let you go, do you have any thoughts on the suspension of Tom Brady and whether it's justified?
I think that they suspended Tom Brady based on two things, not the act of deflating the balls. I think they suspended them based on the difficulty, like having to do the Wells report, and they say he lied.
Yep.
That's, you know, what their findings said. And I think reputation superseded them. I think the fact that this isn't their first violation with trying to gain an edge. And I think that the NFL, because they have been so scrutinized with not getting certain suspensions in the past, specifically the past year, right the first time, they wanted to win the court of public opinion, saying, hey, you know, we did our part. I wouldn't be surprised if in the appeals process it gets lessened, because I do think it's a little harsh to dole out a 4-game suspension. It's not good for, you know, the game of football. It's not good to suspend, you know, a player that not just, you know, the Patriots fans watch, but the entire NFL fans watch the game, because Tom Brady is so good at what he does. He's a very marketable superstar. So I applaud them for taking a stand against, you know, for the integrity of the game, but I don't agree with the 4-game suspension.
Yeah. Eric, thanks so much for your time this morning. Once again, I know it was an early wake-up call, but you guys are going to do great when you and Jordan team up on an interview. We've had Jordan Rogers on the show before, too, so glad to have some friends of the show doing their own, so that's great. Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, and have a good day.
Yeah, you too. You too, and I just want to say hi to all the cheeseheads out there in Packerland. Go Pack Go.
Sounds good. Go Pack Go. Eric Bakhtiari joining us on a Friday morning here at Railbird Central on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with our show.
Packers news of the day.
As we talked about before, former Green Bay Packers quarterback Matt Flynn has reportedly agreed to a deal with the New England Patriots. This according to a report from ESPN. Basically, you know, my take on it is that the Patriots are essentially getting a insurance policy here for Tom Brady and his potential 4-game suspension. You know, again, it's subject to appeal, which is actually supposed to happen before the end of this month, reportedly, I believe from Albert Breer of the NFL Network reported that or something. So it could be reduced, could stay the same, could be no suspension at all, potentially. Regardless, the Patriots signing Matt Flynn anyway, and basically what they're doing is getting a veteran backup. Just, you know, while they got to have somebody out there. If indeed Tom Brady is suspended 4 games, you know, they need somebody who's been around the block before, because currently the only other quarterback on the roster besides Brady and Flynn is Jimmy Garoppolo, a very inexperienced second-year player, one with a lot of potential, but a second-year player who's, you know, played only sparingly nonetheless. And actually, the Patriots got rid of a quarterback yesterday, Garrett Gilbert, a first-year player, a guy who, again, inexperienced. I was kind of surprised they got rid of him, actually. Almost in a way to, you know, trading Garrett Gilbert for Flynn, practically, just the way it worked out. But yeah, I thought, you know, seeing as I thought Matt Flynn just might be the insurance policy, you know, where they're trying to get somebody experienced just in case, and they would still keep Gilbert around and try to develop him, you know, practice squad, if nothing else. Apparently they weren't too impressed with him. Otherwise they, you know, wouldn't have released him. But yeah, Matt Flynn comes in, steps into a pretty good situation, for the New England Patriots. I mean, cause you got to guard against injury as well. So, I mean, what if Jimmy Garoppolo gets injured? All of a sudden, Matt Flynn is the man there for the Patriots, at least until Tom Brady comes back. So, the other part of this is that the Packers, if you were wondering, can no longer receive compensation for the loss of Matt Flynn. We talked about this, you know, last month on the show. As of the May 12th deadline in the NFL, you know, either gains or losses no longer count against the compensatory draft pick formula. So pretty much, the hay is in the barn, so to speak. It appears as if the Packers will get 2 draft choices for the losses of Tremont Williams to the Cleveland Browns and Devon House to the Jacksonville Jaguars. We talked about this before. It doesn't look like they'll get anything for Jamari Lattimore to the New York Jets. It's possible they could have, but the NFL only awards 32 compensatory draft picks, the same amount as the number of teams in the NFL. So Lattimore may not, you know, qualify for the formula. So the Packers looked to get 2, and they didn't sign any veteran free agents prior to the May 12th deadline. You know, it's possible they still could sign somebody out there, you know, down the road during training camp, things like that, like they did, you know, Seneca Wallace a few years ago. No net gain, no net loss here in terms of free agents. So Packers can't get anything for Matt Flynn. Of course, his contract would have to qualify too. We don't, details of his contract have yet to be released, but can't imagine it's worth a whole lot of money, just being a backup and some perhaps view a short-term backup at that. You wonder if and when Tom Brady comes back, whether Matt Flynn too will be released. I mean, the fact that they only have 3 quarterbacks on the roster currently kind of indicates, well, they're at least going to keep them through training camp. I mean, if you only have 3, you got to have 3 through training camp. Just in case of injury, if nothing else. But Matt Flynn getting a chance in New England, the former Green Bay Packers quarterback. That was kind of the biggest news yesterday, after OTAs took place on Wednesday. The news coming out of OTAs is that Jordy Nelson returned to practice on a limited basis. You know, he had been at OTAs the whole time. He had been suited up, but he hadn't really done anything. Of course, he's recovering from off-season hip surgery, a rather minor procedure, all things told. But still, he was actually able to take part on a limited basis for the first time this past Wednesday. Still held out of competitive periods, 11 on 11, things like that, as they kind of take baby steps back to getting him involved. We'll see if he takes another step this week or not when minicamp happens. But that was kind of the biggest story coming out of OTAs. And you know, couple guys, you know, whereas Jared Abradaris had been participating in 11 on, or individual drills since the beginning, he apparently graduated to taking part in competitive periods on Wednesday, 11 on 11s, you know, offense versus defense, those kind of things. So he's taking another step after, you know, suffering the ACL injury yesterday. So those were some of the guys, you know, coming back to practice or taking part on a larger basis. Some of the guys that were missing were veterans Sam Shields, the cornerback, and Julius Peppers, the edge rusher, edge defender, whatever you want to call him, outside linebacker, hybrid defensive end, elephant end. A lot of labels you could put on Julius Peppers. The Packers do not talk about absences during the voluntary portion of you know, the off season, because you know, players don't have to be there, so they just, you know, decline to speak about it. You know, things will be a little bit different when minicamp happens and things are mandatory. So we'll see if they come back. You know, I can't imagine, because they can actually be fined if they're not in attendance at the 3-day mandatory mini camp. You know, as long as, you know, they're not holding out or anything like that, they basically show up. So we'll see if the likes of Julius Peppers and Sam Shields come back this upcoming week. But those were a few of the stories coming out of OTAs the other day. And as far as
The day ahead.
in the world of the Green Bay Packers, today, tomorrow, this weekend, today is actually the final day of organized team activities. This 3-week period that has included 9 full team practices. The final one takes place today on Friday. It is unfortunately not open to the public. So if you're listening to this and wanting to watch the Packers practice, don't go. Takes place behind closed doors inside the Don Hutson Center. As I need to remind you, the Packers only have 1 day of practice open per week during organized team activities. Wait till next week and mini camp. Next week, mini camp Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all are supposed to be open, or I believe Tuesday and Thursday supposed to be open to the public. Apparently, Wednesday just to the media, but even sometimes I know they typically do the team building drill. We'll talk about that more next week. But anyway, so mini camp next week, but over the course of the weekend, lot of Packers related events taking place. A lot of them with a charity aspect. On Saturday, there is the Jerry Perrins Cruise for Cancer, the former security director. That's the namesake of the event, the guy it's named after, Jerry Perrins, former security director for the Green Bay Packers, a motorcycle ride ending at Lambeau Field on Saturday. Always ends in a celebration at Lambeau Field. I believe they hold it on top of the deck on top of Lambeau Field, way on the north end there. Which several Packers players take part, sign autographs, things like that. If you're interested in town in Green Bay, it's something cool to check out. And they're actually, I believe, this year have the goal of raising, you know, they've made hundreds of thousands of dollars of contributions to cancer charities over the years. They hope to eclipse the $1 million mark in donations this year after this year's cruise. So very cool aspect to it there. Also taking place on Saturday, the Ultimate Packer Fan Connection. We talked to Wayne Sargent earlier in the week here on the show, way back on Monday, previewing the event. So actually takes place this Saturday at Stadium View Sports Bar and Grill in Green Bay, just a stone's throw from the stadium. Packers players, current and former, going to show up there, signing autographs, making appearances, taking photographs. A lot of cool other things they have, food and auctions, door prizes, things like that. So, if you're in town, go check it out. And then on Sunday, the annual Jordy Nelson Celebrity Softball Game, an event Nelson has taken over from originally Brett Favre, then passed the torch to Donald Driver, now on to Jordy Nelson. So kind of a long-standing event that's you know, an annual event that happens at Fox City Stadium every year, just outside Appleton in Grand Chute, Wisconsin, home of the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, the Brewers minor league affiliate. Very cool. Just announced yesterday, I believe, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers will be there, along with linebacker Clay Matthews and about half the Packers roster. What they do is they play offense versus defense, and it's just a fun day, fun event. I've been there once before myself. A good opportunity to see Packers players in person. They're out there raising money, once again, charity fundraiser, having a good time, especially if it's the kind of thing where it's tough to invest money into a very expensive NFL game. This is a good opportunity to see the players in person for a good cause, first of all. I know they sign autographs and things like that, so you want to see some Packers players this weekend. There is lots of opportunities to do so. So if you live especially in the state of Wisconsin. So go check it out if you haven't already. And then next week, or you don't have plans already, next week, minicamp takes place. Final portion of the Packers offseason program before they take 5.5 weeks off before the start of training camp. So looking forward to mini camp news next week, because there will be a lull after that. So looking forward to it. Thanks everybody for joining me today. Thanks to Eric Bakhtiari for being our guest this morning. Glad to get his thoughts on some football and non-football related matters. He was great. We'll see you later, folks. My call to action, if you haven't already, please give us a rating on iTunes. As I always say, the show is free, no subscription, no paywall. One small thing we ask you, give us a rating on iTunes. We'd appreciate it. But have a good weekend. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.